Baby, whoa, whoa, look so scream. Hand him on my wall. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Nancy Truskowski, the director of the Oregon Society of Artists, and artist Joanne Radmilovich Coleman, who's an artist and instructor at the Oregon Society of Artists. And they're talking about the Rose Festival Art Show, which is on now through June 28th in the gallery, and the address is 2185 Southwest Park Place. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person.
It's a pleasure to be here, or to have you here. Thank you.
I've been driving by this Oregon Society of Artists for years. It's on Park Place. You know, we're a few blocks west of Providence Park. It's a quiet street. It's basically a place to come and learn to do art, mostly painting, sculpture as well. Mm-hmm. Nancy, you're the director. How many students do you have? Who are they and what can they learn here?
We serve about 1,500 students throughout the year, and they learn visual arts. They learn how to paint and sketch and draw and create sculpture. And there's a community here too, a very supportive community that helps each other grow and learn. It's been in existence since 1926, a little known fact.
At the same time, there was the museum school. People would go there to learn to draw and paint in the early 20th century. Who was this for?
This building didn't exist in 1926, and it was born out of the art museum by a group of very conservative artists that didn't like the direction in which the art museum was going.
So where were they going? Too modern?
Modern, abstract, surreal, okay. And this group of artists wanted to keep with what they knew and enjoyed. So they had set up classes in their studios, and they showed in the library and the Meyer and Frank building that used to have space down below. And then eventually they realized they really needed their own space. They needed a meeting space and they needed an exhibit space. So they acquired this property and built this building, raised the money themselves, and in the 50s. And we own it free and clear now. And we have gone the way of the art museum. In other words, we have more abstract and surreal painting, as well as the more conservative styles as well. So we're reaching a much broader demographic. It used to be a very exclusive space, and now we're very much a part of the community. Our goal is to be premier art school in the city of Portland, and we have amazing instruction, and it's really a great place to be, not only to learn, but to find a community.
So it's a society, but so you can be a member or not and take classes.
Correct. Right. It's always been the Oregon Society of Artists, and we don't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. But to the end of, for marketing purposes, we've acquired the Oregon School of Arts to further identify the educational aspect, and then the gallery at OSA to identify and separate this out. People can be a member or not. The classes and exhibition opportunities are available to everyone.
So you do a show every month with a theme. It's not juried usually. You just sort of, whoever wants to be in it is in it.
Correct. In the true juried sense, it's not, we don't jury out work, or we don't want to do that because it's a community gallery. We want everyone to be on display. We jury for prizes. So we do invite a juror to award those prizes, and about 6 shows a year out of the 12 that we do are juried.
So Joanne, you are an instructor here, and you've volunteered to talk about the Rose and Portland themed show. You're familiar with a lot of the artists here. As you come in the door, there's a portrait of the Rose Festival Queen of 2022. Tell us who did this.
Bhavani Krishnan. She's a local artist now. I think she had been an engineer. She left a technical job to become an artist, she's really worked at it over the years, and she's a fabulous painter and has placed and won awards in national shows.
What medium is this?
It's oil.
Is she one of your students?
No, she's not. She's We've been in classes together, more master classes together, and the process for this painting is she met with the Rose Queen and did some sketches and maybe a small oil study, and then took her own photographs. And I think each person who, each year someone is selected to do the queen, and they have about a year to complete the painting.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is Senya. She was the Wilson High grad last year, went to Howard University. So she's in the full regalia, the robe, the tiara, and she's got these fantastic dreadlocks. And I mean, it is kind of impressionist style, right?
It is, and this is, you know, I guess what you would call abstract realism. And it's got a nice paint quality. She, again, you'll hear me say that is, I think, a painter's painter, where, you know, you get up close and you see really beautiful paint layered and brush strokes. So impressionism actually is, they were following the light. And I think this painting has a nice quality of light and atmosphere in it.
Oh, what do you mean following the light?
The impressionists were the ones that first went outdoors. And so, you know, how light and shadow hit outdoors.
The Best Of show is by Cheryl Rogers. And it's a vase of roses. Some of them have petals, have fallen, or there's a loose bloom on the table in front, and there's a bit of a colored background, but a kind of plum colored vase, and then a bunch of yellow and red roses, and this is oil. So what do you know about Cheryl Rogers?
Well, Cheryl lived in Oregon years ago and then lived in California, and she came back here. I think this is the culmination of the years of hard work she's put in to, you know, become a painter. Mm-hmm. And I know Cheryl usually starts paintings pretty dark, which is to the contrary. And then we'd call this direct painting, where she's painting directly from a still life. And then she's coming back as the paint tacks up and putting all the brights in over and, mm-hmm. and really bringing up that luminosity.
Mm-hmm.
Where some painters start from thin to thick, she starts pretty heavy from the get-go.
On the other side of the divider is a piece by Susan Kuznitsky, another first place piece. It's called Garden Gate, and it's a very subtle piece, a woman in a white dress walking through a kind of a white gate in a garden. The roses on a trellis over her, either side of her, a lot of plants. I presume some of them are roses too. It's almost pointless, but it's the shadows and the bright sun are really dramatic, even though the subject is a very serene picture, you know, just someone in a summer dress and sandals walking through a garden. What would you call the style?
I'd call this impressionistic. It's really about the quality of light that falls through the painting. And this is a pastel. It was awarded first place. And Susan is an instructor here and also a national award-winning pastelist.
Mm-hmm.
So we're lucky to have her here. And she's now she teaches workshops abroad during the summer and does a lot of online classes as well, and has really made a name for herself in the pastel world. And she's also a fabulous oil painter, but this is her primary medium.
Would these be pencils or crayons?
Both. So there are sticks, and if you've ever seen a pastelist box, it's all of these colors, you know. So when a painter lays out a palette, they're mixing all of that, and a pastelist has sometimes hundreds of colors,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of reds, blues, greens, and they pick from those chalks and then do come in with pencil. I believe she starts sometimes on a sanded paper and may even do a watercolor base and then build up from there.
It is amazing because the woman's face is so, there's so little to it, but you get a sense of a person. You know, it's very impressive. It's just a few dots, And she's in shadow. It's quite amazing. And she's a total focal point of the composition.
Very difficult to do and very well done. Yeah.
What is it about Impressionism, you think, that keeps it alive? Why do people still like, why do people line around a block to see it at museums, and why do they still do it in their private practice?
Because it's a buildup of, in this case it's pastel, but it's a buildup of the pigment and material, and it's got a very lyrical, spontaneous play of light, I think that's, and color.
Is it more forgiving than painting, you know, with a wet oil paint? You can
pastel.
Some more control?
No, it's all hard.
That's
it takes years. It takes years and years. Yeah, it's hard. You know, so I tell beginners, you know, 100 starts. You got to start somewhere. And it's really, well, I guess people who run, I used to run, you're competing against yourself. You know, you keep coming back to get a little further and a little further.
So what do you mean 100 starts? You mean you might start with a blank piece of paper and throw it away if you don't like it?
No, you might take it further. You might keep it for a while. I encourage people to keep it for a while. And then, you know, with paint, you can paint over it. And I believe this pastel sanded paper, they even wash it out. But, you know, to keep working on learning how to start a painting, don't get so focused on the finish, you know, but think about what the finish is, you know. You can start with a finish in mind, but, you know, when you're just beginning, people get real frustrated if they want to think about filling this with, I mean, there's nothing against those, what are they, paint and draw or wine?
Paint by numbers?
Wine parties where people come in and copy something, you know, that's a whole other process. But I think most of the instructors here are teaching some kind of technique or step by step, or, you know, providing an environment for students to learn through demonstration and then actually painting on their painting to show them, you know, how it might be done or how they might progress.
Oh, the teacher comes around and, like, will pick up the brush and add something.
You ask first, yeah but to, because what the student ends up learning is, like, what somebody else is seeing, you know, because there is a basic structure to painting, you know. So somebody might be saying, oh, this color is wrong, and it's not about color, it's value before color, and getting the structure of the painting put together before you're worrying about the color is all about the relationship of what's next to it. So Susan's done a beautiful job here of providing enough grays, gray greens, to let the color really sing.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Nancy Truskowski and Joanne Radmilovich Coleman. They're talking about the Rose Festival Art Show at the Oregon Society of Artists on now through June 28th. So, Joanne, as I look around, I see a lot of roses in vases. Some abstract roses. I mean, it's everyone's take on the rose. Is there something about this symbol that, you know, anyone can have a go at?
Sure. I mean, it's the Rose City. So, and this time of year we have a lot of roses, but the show also encompasses Portland themes, Portland community, really anything to do that says Portland.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Umbrella.
Dragon boats.
Yeah.
Bridges, rain.
Should we look at a watercolor around the corner?
Yeah. Which,
okay. And
we're looking at a Yong Hong Zong's piece, Backlit Roses. This is a watercolor where it's a lot of grays and dark greens, but then the light coming through this central whitish pink rose, you know, it really does look like there's a bright light behind it. It's exactly what it says, backlit roses. Who is Zong?
He is an instructor here. He was a Disney artist for a number of years and moved up here to raise his family. And
Excel Animation?
Yes, and design, and I think, you know, everything went, you know, digital. It's a digital world now, and he's versed in all of the above. And I think his all the years of drawing and composing for Disney is what really put into his ability to have such a strong sense of design in every painting he does. He's a master, and
Is design in this case composition, or is that a different meaning?
So composition in this piece with roses is we have size variation. See, even the spacing between the flowers is different, so there's variety. You get a sense of light, yet it's very abstract when you look at the calligraphy of the brushwork. And he was born in China and, of course, has wrote Chinese brush writing, so you can really see that in the calligraphy of his paint.
So Yang Hong Zong, Full Bloom, this is another watercolor, and the light is shining on the top and sort of back of a rose bush, right, on the blooms. It's a very delicate watercolor.
And this very much is an impressionistic painting. It's about the light play in the painting. That really is the big idea in the painting beyond just looking at roses. And the careful placement of darks. And he's used a variety of watercolor technique that doesn't look, it's not like a photo, you know, where we're rendering out the value in a shape. It's letting the watercolor do what it does, so you know, it's always working on the edge of the paint does something and then you come back and you place some darks. You're not necessarily following the lines and filling in. It's a surprise every time.
As I look around now, I realize that a lot of people focus on the structure of the bloom. They put the rose in the middle. They're focusing on the kind of the shape of the flower. But are you saying that as people get better with their materials, they'll start to focus on other things, the background, the gaps, things like that?
They may, if they're interested in, you know, furthering their composition and color mixing and letting, you know, getting into that scary zone where you're kind of letting the painting speak to you and playing with brushwork and paint quality, and it starts to get really exciting then. So many of the classes are, you know, all levels. So a beginner might be in a class with a very advanced person, and that's like my expressive painting class. Cheryl Rogers, who is Best of Show, comes to that, and then there are people who've never picked up a brush, and you know, they learn from each other.
So Joanne, you have a piece in the show, honorable mention. It's called More Owen, hashtag More Owen, University of Portland 2023. And it's a beautiful portrait of a young man. He's got long brown hair, beautiful highlights on the tip of his nose, his lower lip, his eyes, a very gentle face. It's hard to see what he's wearing, some kind of a white V-neck shirt. And he kind of comes out of the gloom, you know, to look right in your eyes. So who is this kid, Owen?
Owen was a University of Portland student. He started UP in 2019, I believe, as a freshman. And just before finals, he went missing and was found deceased a couple weeks later. And the whole community rallied to find him. And the family started Facebook pages that a lot of people it snowballed. People started following and wanted to help. And she's a very good writer and began sharing, you know, this whole experience. And
what was the writer's name?
Mary Klinger.
Klinger, okay.
Yes, his mother, Mary Klinger. And the hashtag More Owen will take you to, you know, really delving in should anybody want to look into the family story. And my son was at University of Portland at the time as well, and I found out later they had crossed paths on grade school football field and the Northeast Community Center, and then my son was in the choir at the time, so he did sing at the memorial at the University of Portland Child Center. And then just this May, the university awarded his mother a posthumous diploma. So I felt like he was such a community figure, and the family has generously created scholarship and been very community-minded people, that this was a good Portland piece to put in the show.
So what, you were painting a portrait anyway and it turned into Owen?
I had a commission that was supposed to be of Jesus, and Owen had long hair, and when I saw all of this, and I was very touched by this just because of that whole drive and experience that I had been in with my son freshman year. So I thought, well, I'll use Owen as my starting point for when you do a commission of, especially Jesus, there's no, well, where do you start? So this painting, I wanted to really look at the paint quality and bring up a painting to the paint quality I thought I might want in the commission. So I didn't know why, how, where, how long I was going to be into this. And I, you know, literally went through hundreds of photos all through his childhood that she had posted on Facebook, and tried to compile it into an essence of who I thought he was. And there's a very beautiful poem that he wrote that's on the Moore Owen site that was very inspiring. I think a very happy, unique individual, hard worker, a real solid family in the community. And I guess that's my big focus in my art practice, is being community-minded. I think the creativity helps people process other things going on in their lives, and hope that when they come through the doors, they can leave some of that behind. Mm.
There are some sculptures here, though, these large, the crepe paper flowers, roses.
It was one of our board members organized a group of volunteers, and they made these.
Oh, okay.
For decoration, but they are for sale. But they are really in honor of the Rose Festival show, so they made these to add some more dimension to the to this particular show.
Can you generalize about how people approached the city? Did they, or the rose subject matter? Did they have to verbalize what they were going to do before? Did they say, "Oh, this is my story about roses," or
nope?
Nope. No words, just straight in.
No words, whatever felt Portland to people. But I think it is something that students and members and, you know, the artists here think about. You know, there's always a rose theme.
Nancy, just tell us a bit more about the Rose Festival show.
Well, we've been in partnership with the Rose Festival Association for over 80 years. So this Rose Festival show has happened annually since then, and then we've been doing the portrait for the last near 20 years, and it's our gift really to the Rose Festival Association. So, you know, it's the Rose Festival theme, so it's, you know, we either give them the theme of the Rose Festival, and this year I believe it's coming together or a reunion, something to that effect, and then but always we're focusing on roses in Portland. So, you know, any medium goes, but it has to be focused on the event itself, the Rose Festival. So you'll see a band, you know, there's a painting of a band over there, which is part of the parade, and the dragon boats over there, which of course is part of the Rose Festival with the races that happen on the river, and the Queen of course is always present. And so that's really and we have, as a result of our longevity with the Rose Festival, we are a sanctioned event, so I think we will have this partnership for many more years, and it's always an honor to be part of it. And the court comes to the opening of the show, and you know, the unveiling happens usually at that show as well, so it's really quite an honor to be part of it.
I just wanted to comment on the instructors and staff and our social media. It's really an opportunity. We all encourage artists of all levels to enter a show. It's an opportunity. Once you get your painting in a frame, even a beginner, I mean, there's been beginners that have won an award. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It helps you see your work in a different light, and so that's all encouraged in the class. So that's how people get out there and choose things too. Like, what are you going to put in the Rose Show this year? And the plein air show is coming up in October. So like, I teach a outdoor plein air class, and it's like, well, now's your opportunity to start gathering paintings that you'll choose for the plein air show. So it's trying to be inclusive.
If you could sort of generalize about who comes to the Oregon Society of Artists now, would you call them like Sunday painters, or are they people who got discouraged about art maybe when they were younger or never thought they could do it? You know, because I feel like that happens to a lot of people. You get to like 16, you think you're no good, and then you never lift another paintbrush again.
There's a lot of stories like that, and retired folks who maybe their parents discouraged them, like definitely against a career in art, because, you know, how are you ever going to get anywhere? So a lot of people who have always wanted to do this. Many of my students are folks that are retired, but there are also our younger folks. A lot of people are working remotely now, so it. I think the need to get out and have activities and do things within a community is really important. And I also teach at St. Andrew Nativity, and we've tried to bring in students that normally wouldn't have an opportunity. And there's a summer program for students that can offer for young people, and at Oregon Society of Artists, yeah.
What do you think is the value of a four-year undergraduate art degree now?
I think it's very valuable. I think there's a base, and especially in a combination like that, students can get a good academic background, which I didn't get till I completed my degree in 2012 from Merrill Hirsch University, which was full-on academics and studio painting. So mm-hmm. I'm a proponent of, you know, if students can swing it and there's scholarship available, to try and get an education. I think it's very important.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Nancy Truskowski. She's the director of the Oregon Society of Artists, and also artist Joanne Radmilovich Coleman, who is an instructor at the Oregon Society of Artists. They were talking about the Rose Festival Art Show, which is on now through June 28th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Andy walking, Andy tired. Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he's fast asleep. Send him on a pleasant cruise. When he wake up on the sea, he's sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue. What a jolly boring thing to do. Andy, whoa, whoa, let's just scream. Hang him on my wall, Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol, looks a scream, hang him on.